Well, have you ever noticed that you can be totally content, full of joy with where you are and with what you have until you look around and you discover something else that you want? Maybe something that you don't yet have. Maybe you look around and you see something that somebody else has and you're like, man, like I've got to have that. Like if I want to be happy, we've got to update that. We've got to have that. Or a lot of times it's a place that we want to be, you know, like we see somebody else posting on social media that they're at their favorite vacation spot and you're not there. And you're like, man, if I could just get to that place, or if I could just get to that the place in my life where they are, if I could just get to where they are instead of the place that I'm in, then I'll be satisfied. You know, my kids are notorious for this idea. A lot of times what will happen is they'll be watching one of their kids' shows on TV, and suddenly they'll be in a house full of toys. Our house is full of toys. And suddenly this devilish commercial will come invading my TV screen, telling my kids another toy that they need to have. You know, and suddenly in that moment, that's all that they want. I'll say, Daddy, please, can I have that toy? That's all that I want. And when I say no, they're like, Daddy, come on, please, please. And then they give me the guilt trip. Like, that's okay. That's okay. I can wait. I'll just put it on my list for my birthday, which is 9 months away. And I start to feel bad. You know, I'm amazed fascinated by the power of marketing in our lives. The goal of good marketing is if you can create a sense of need or a sense of want that wasn't previously there. You know, where you can get somebody to say, wow, I didn't know that I needed that until I saw that. But now that I see that, I can't live without that. And Amazon is probably one of the best at marketing. They're amazing at this. You will go on Amazon to order a simple item that you really need, and all of a sudden, here comes, at the bottom of the screen, their menu of recommended items for you. You know, it's like, because you bought that, surely you would want to buy this. And you look at that and you're like, oh, how did you know? How do you know me so well? I do need that. And suddenly, when the package has arrived, it looks like Amazon Prime has moved into your porch area. Before Amazon, infomercials were famous for doing this, creating a need in us that we didn't know we had until we saw it, but now we see it, now we have to have it. And I was looking up some of the most popular infomercials of all time, and here are a few of my favorites. Maybe you remember some of these. How about the first one, the George Foreman Grill? You remember the George Foreman Grill? I mean, George Foreman got on TV, and he would tell us that if you will just cook with this George Foreman grill, then you will have a body like me. You will eat leaner than you've ever eaten, and you will be thinner than you've ever been. And I don't know if it ever worked as far as that, but what I do know is that the George Foreman grills were amazing for breaking the rules in a college dorm room. Like they would allow you, although you weren't allowed to have fire in a dorm room, they were small enough, the grills, where you could cook with real fire, with a real grill, right in the comfort of your own dorm room. Hashtag, I'm sorry, I'm not sorry. How about this next one? Maybe you remember this, the Snuggie. How many of you, raise your hand right where you are in your home, how many of you had a Snuggie? How many of you had a Snuggie? Men, put your hands down. Do not answer that question, men, right? How many of you had a Snuggie? And you know, it wasn't enough to just put on a blanket or to wear a jacket. We had to combine the two for a blanket jacket with a Snuggie. Here's one that maybe is a little bit, maybe this is going back in time for you. The third one is moon shoes. How many of you remember moon shoes? If you grew up as a kid, in the early 90s, these bad boys were amazing. When you're watching Michael Jordan dunk on TV, it would allow you to strap these amazing things onto your shoes. It was almost like having trampolines underneath your shoes, and it could allow you to jump higher than ever before. I mean, what could go wrong, right? You know, trampolines on your shoes. You know, today we are wrapping up our series called Finding Joy. And in this series, we've been walking through the book of Philippians, which is oftentimes known as the joy letter. And we've been learning from the Apostle Paul's example how we can find joy no matter what. And he shared about a whole lot of ways that we can find joy. But today, as we finish up the letter, we're going to be in chapter 4, the very end of it. And Paul is going to share with us about contentment. Because contentment, finding contentment, is one of the hardest things to find. And it's oftentimes, if we don't have contentment, it's often a barrier to us having joy. And when we think of the word contentment, contentment is basically being satisfied with what you have and with where you are. Being satisfied with what you have and with where you are, no matter where you are, no matter what you have. And so the problem, though, is our culture tells us over and over that you won't be satisfied, that you won't be happy until you have more. Like, if you want to be satisfied, that's the answer. You need more. More money, more stuff, a bigger house, a better job. You need, a new position. You need to get to a better place. If I just had more. But the problem with more is more will never be enough. Because once you get more, the target always moves to the next more. And so it's if it's always about getting more, it's almost like you're drinking salty water from the ocean your whole life, hoping that it will satisfy you, but every time you drink it, you come out feeling more and more thirsty. And so at the end of Philippians chapter 4, Paul is going to say something unbelievable. He's going to tell us this. He says, I have found the secret. I have learned the secret to being content in any and every circumstance. Now, there's a whole lot of people who have said that they found the secret to being content. I mean, some people believe in the prosperity gospel, which basically says that if you want to be more content, right, if you follow after Jesus, he will bless you with a better house and a better job and with more money and a better bench press and all that. And so we think that if we just had more, that's the answer to contentment. And that don't work. On the other hand, sometimes people in Christian circles sometimes think that maybe the secret to contentment is to not want anything, to push out any of the blessings and not desire anything. And that's not what God wants for you. He is a God who every good and perfect gift comes from above. He loves, just if you're a parent, how you love to bless your kids. Our Heavenly Father loves to bless his children, right? And so we're going to learn the secret. And really, Paul says, since it's something to be learned, it's almost like a skill that can be learned in the school of doing life with God. And so how many of you would love to learn how to be more content in your life with where you are and with what you have? How many of you would love to be more content? Well, let's jump in Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 10. Here's what Paul says. He says this. He says, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no, indeed you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. And so let's stop here. We've come to the end of the letter, and here Paul is again reminding us of something that he's been teaching us throughout. That basically he's saying one of the secrets to finding joy and to finding contentment in your life is this. Number one, I want you to remember to rejoice. He said it over and over throughout the whole letter. I want you to remember to rejoice. Basically, if you want more joy, remember to rejoice. You know, so why does Paul say this over and over and over in this letter? I think it's because when the circumstances in our life suddenly start to get cloudy, when the circumstances in our life starts to change, we suddenly have a short-term memory of how God, of the blessings of God that are right in front of us. When something starts to get bad in our life, we suddenly start to forget how God has been at work in our lives. We're prone to forget. And so Paul tells us, look, we have so many reasons to rejoice, so remember to rejoice. See, real contentment comes when nobody has to remind you to rejoice, you know? When it becomes the normal pattern of your disposition, that whether it's in a bad season or a good season, I'm going to look up to heaven and I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. And so here Paul is practicing what he's preaching. He's saying about himself, I rejoiced greatly in the Lord. Why? He says, this time because you renewed your concern for me, right? You've shown that you're concerned about me. You're concerned about me. Basically, what he's doing, he's come to the end of the letter, and he's thanking them for their financial gifts that has supported his ministry. And so he's saying, look, now that in this letter I've told you all sorts of things, I've told you that you don't find joy, you don't chase after joy through your circumstances, you don't find it by focusing all on yourself, but on focusing on others. Now that I've shown you that joy isn't about all just be having more and more accomplishments, that you find it in Jesus. Now that I've helped you to overcome worry, here's what I want you to know. He says, by the way, thanks for the gift, as he's writing to the Philippians. But not just for their financial gift, but mostly thanks because your gift is an evidence that you care for me and you care for my ministry. He's blessed by that. And so he's rejoicing. Remember, he's in prison in this moment. He's rejoicing from prison because even in this circumstance of prison, their gift is a reminder that Paul is not alone. It's a reminder that he's not alone because God is with him. And it's a reminder that the Philippians are standing in his corner. I want to just say a word to somebody today in this season. Maybe I know a lot of people feel very lonely in this season. Maybe in this season of kind of the shutdown and everything with the coronavirus stuff, maybe you're in a season where you felt really isolated. Maybe you feel like you're alone right now. I want you to know this is a reminder that you are never, ever, ever alone. Because even if nobody is around you right now, your God is with you. And you still have people in your corner. And you have people in this church, especially, who are standing in your corner. And so let's continue reading. Here's what it says. Paul continues. He's saying, thanks for the gift. And then verse 11. He's saying, I'm not saying this because I am in need. For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret to being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, right? And so here's the thing. If you were to write a letter, if you're writing a thank you letter, don't ever model it after the Apostle Paul. He's really good at theology, but he's really bad at writing thank you letters. I mean, just check out this letter. It's so funny. He starts out by saying, you know, I got your financial gift, right? That at last you renewed your concern for me, right? I got your gift. Finally, it took a while, but I appreciate it, but I didn't really need it. It's a really bad thank you letter, right? But what he's saying here is that even though I'm in prison and I'm clearly in need, right? I have my own supply of contentment that's come from God that I can live off of, whether I'm rich or whether I'm poor, right? Whether I'm well-fed, whether I'm hungry, whether I'm living in the palace or I'm living in the prison, I can be content because of God. Now, Paul's not saying it's all the same, right? I mean, Paul has been in a place, and he would say to all of us, it's certainly better to live in the palace than to be in prison. He's not crazy. I mean, most of us would probably say that we would rather have more than not have enough. And Paul would say that. But here's just a question for us to think about when it comes to contentment. Here's the question. Does having more stuff make you more content? I mean, does having more stuff make you more content, or does having more make you want more? Just thinking about that a little bit. Because I think it unpacks something really important. And here's the bottom line that I don't want you to miss today, and it's this, is that you won't be content until you find your contentment in Jesus. You won't be content in your life until you find your contentment in Jesus. It's not found in a place, contentment. It's not found in a person. If I could just have her, if I could have him, right? It's not found in your possessions, having more. It's found in Jesus. And that's why the Apostle Paul is saying that contentment is not about your level of supply. It's not about how much supply you have. It's about the power of your source, right? So he would say to you, don't confuse the supply with your source. Now, it reminds me of a story you may remember in the book of Exodus, the second book of the Bible. Moses has gone up to Mount Sinai. He's gone up to Mount Sinai to receive basically the Ten Commandments from the Lord. He's receiving a word from the Lord. And you may remember all the Israelites had just been freed by God from slavery. And so Moses goes up to the mountain to receive not just commandments from God, but it's basically laws for how you can find freedom. Where God was teaching his people that if you'll live like this, you'll finally learn what it means to be more and more free. And so as God is speaking this word to Moses, the people of God were waiting down at the bottom of the mountain, his brother Aaron, Moses' brother Aaron, and the Israelites. And they're kind of looking at their watch, and they're like, man, he's taking a long time. Like, maybe God deserted us, you know? Like, I know he freed us from slavery in Egypt, and that was all great, and we're happy with freedom, but man, it's taking a long time. They're like, you know what? Let's just make a God. Let's just make a God to stand in the gap for us. And so what did they do? They constructed a statue of a golden calf, that were made from their own hands, and they held it up, and they said, this people is the Lord your God who led you out of slavery in Egypt. And everybody started bowing down to worship this thing that they made with their own hands. And the problem is they put their hope in this golden calf because they got the created things confused with their creator. Now, here's the thing. If God gives you a new job, great, right? If God brings you into a better season, great. If God gives you more money or a new blessing, great. But here's the thing. But that we got to remember that blessing isn't your God. That new opportunity isn't your God, right? Because when you put your hope in created things, whatever it is, you'll never have joy because you'll never be satisfied. You'll never be content. So here's the truth about contentment that we need to remember. Number two, and it's this, is that God, number two, God is my source and everything else is a resource. God is my source and everything else is a resource. God is the one who supplies. He's the source and everything else has been resourced from our source, right? So Jesus is my source of joy and peace. He's my source of blessings and opportunities. And that means that I don't worship the good season that I'm in. Like this is nice that what's happening with my kids and in our life. I don't worship the good season that I'm in right now, but I worship the God who supplied it. That also means that when I'm in a bad season, right, I don't look disappointed at God because I'm in this difficult season right now. No, what I do is I start looking around for how God wants to grow me, and I look to my source to resource me, to be my source and to fill my supply in the middle of this season. See, I have to learn in my life, and you have to learn to appreciate all seasons. That's hard, right? Learn to appreciate all seasons, just like Paul, the good and the bad, the seasons of plenty and the seasons of want. And Paul would say you need to appreciate the seasons when you are bearing so much fruit, the seasons of fruitfulness, and also those seasons when it feels like everything in you is always just being pruned. Because whether you're bearing fruit or whether you're being pruned, all of it is growth. All of it is a thing that God uses to grow you, right? It's because in all seasons, God is good, and God can use all seasons to grow you. And so if you want more joy, it's not about your level of supply. Like, I need more, I need more. It's about being satisfied in God and trusting God to be your source. So let me ask you this question. Do you want to know the secret? I mean, he just said, I've learned the secret to being content in whatever the circumstances. Do you want to know what it is? Here's what it says, verse 13, Philippians 4, 13. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. This is the secret. This is it. He says, the secret is this. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. That's the secret. I can do all this Some translations say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. How do we have more contentment? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And so here's the secret. Number three, the third thing I want to tell you is this. Contentment comes when we find our strength and our satisfaction in Jesus. Contentment comes when we find our strength and our satisfaction in Jesus. Now here's the thing, this verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This verse has been taken out of context so many times. In fact, it's the most popular Bible verse that's written on every weight room wall at every Christian school, right? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can do all things through Christ, right, who gives me strength. And so oftentimes, you know, we think like, well, the prosperity gospel, right? If we just connect to God, then God will bless you, right? Like, you know, I can do anything if I have Jesus. We think that means that God will grow my bench press and he'll grow my bank account if I just have Jesus. Or we think that if you want to dunk a basketball like LeBron James, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. No, you can't. You're not 6'8" or whatever he is. You know, like the point of this verse is not, I can do anything if I put my mind to it and I drag Jesus along. No, it's a verse about contentment. It's about contentment. It's not the prosperity gospel that if you follow after God, he'll give you more money and a better house and a better car. It's about contentment. That when I'm in a season of want, when I find myself in a season of need, I can still find contentment even if I don't feel like I have enough. Why? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can find contentment in Jesus because no matter the circumstances, Jesus is enough. It means that if I'm connected to Jesus as my source, I will be enough because he'll provide for me. And so let's continue reading verse 14. Here's what it says next. It says, yet, Paul continues writing. He says, yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. Like that was encouraging for me that you shared in my troubles. He says, moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts, again, bad thank you letter. Not that I desire your gifts, what I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And so what does he say here? Paul is thankful for them. He's thankful for their generosity. He says, but you can kind of also hear in Paul's story the disappointment as he's thinking about his past story. I mean, at one point when Paul started out, he says that there was not one church. There was not one church that supported him with their generosity. There was not one church who stepped up to help him with their giving. Let me ask you this. How would that feel? Like, how would that feel to have a side hustle? To have to make tents like the Apostle Paul because some churches and some people who should have helped and could have helped didn't. I mean, how would that feel? Disappointed, right? Contentment doesn't mean that you'll never be disappointed. But what it means is that you can refuse to let your disappointments define you. And so here's some good news. Paul is saying through his example, even though some people didn't help me, he says, even though people didn't help me meet this need, Paul can stand confidently and say, friends, now because of Jesus, I am fully supplied because my God was still faithful to supply all my needs. I didn't know where it was going to come from, but God supplied. And God used your gift, Philippians, to bring me to an abundance. And now Paul is about to teach us. We're going to close up right here. Paul is about to teach us something from his story that he wants you and me to learn in our lives. Here's what he says next, verse 19 and 20. He closes out like this. He says, "And my God," so remember, it was all about me and my story, but now, "and my God will meet all your needs." Some translations say, "My God will supply all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." I want you to know, friends, Paul says that my God will supply all your needs. God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ. That means all your financial needs, all your job needs, all your family needs, all your spiritual needs and emotional needs and physical needs. Your God, his God, my God, will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ, which means when you connect your life, to the God of heaven, you're connecting your life to a supply chain that will never run out. Right? Basically, God owns every resource in heaven and on earth, and nothing is too big for him to put it in your hand, right? And so we don't have to worry about having enough. We don't have to worry about in situations when God calls us to something bigger than us that will we be enough. He owns every resource in heaven, and he can fill the gaps of your weaknesses and be your strength. And so can we stop with the comparison trap? Can we stop looking around at what everybody else has and the place where other people are, thinking that if I could just get there and have that, then I'll be happy? And can we stop with this insatiable desire for more, 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 thinking that will satisfy us? Because more will never make you happy. More is never enough. The target will always move. And so here's the bottom line for today as we close up with this sermon series, Finding Joy. The bottom line is this: you won't be content until you find your contentment in Jesus. He's your source. You won't be content until you find your contentment in Jesus. And so the secret is this: if you find your satisfaction and your contentment in God, wherever God has you, wherever you are, with whatever you have, find your contentment and your satisfaction in God, and then trust God to be your source, to supply all your needs. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this reminder that so many times we can chase after things in our life that we think are going to make us happy. That if I could just get to that place, then I'll be happy. We think if I could just get that thing, that buy that thing or have that thing, then I'll be happy. If I could just be with that person, if I could just get that job, then I'll be happy. God, I thank you so much that for this incredible reminder that we don't have to spend our whole life drinking salty ocean water thinking that will satisfy our thirst. That God, you give us the key, that the key is to put our satisfaction and our contentment in you, Jesus. You're the source. And so, God, would you help us to stop looking around for other things, go into empty wells that won't fill us? Jesus, today, would you encourage us all to connect our lives and to look to you to be our source, to be our strength? God, we find contentment in you. So will you, God, change our perspective? Would you change our hearts? And would you allow us to be more content with where we are and what we have because we have you? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.